Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday style, May the 5th, 2026, right here on Connecticut Today. We took a look at yet another bill signed by Governor Ned Lamont targeting ICE operations here in the state. Is this really needed and necessary, or is it just an act of desperation approaching the November elections? Wallingford, North Haven, East Haven, GOP State Senator Paul Ciccarella joined us to talk about a controversial gun bill at the state capitol targeting a specific make and model of handgun. And Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio dropped by for her weekly update with an assertion that many state employees may have violated their contract on May Day.
So the more they say they're not worried or are kind of brushing off a Republican governor or the possibility of the Republicans taking back the governor's mansion, the more Democrats say that they're not worried, I think they are. And again, this is nothing new. I have said this to you before, and a lot of you people say, well, blah, 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 Trump, 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 Trump. Yeah, but what else do you have? Trump, Trump, Trump. And I think we saw this yesterday. And I honestly think state Democrats here, behind closed doors, assuming that, and with all due respect to Ms. McCoy, assuming that they don't think Betsy McCoy will get the nomination, I don't think she would either. Smart woman, maybe under a Fazio administration or an Aaron Stewart administration. She can take an assignment there, whatever. She may have to walk away from her Newsmax gig. But having said that, I don't foresee Betsy McCoy as the next governor of the state of Connecticut. Could I foresee Ryan Fazio? Yes, I could. Could I foresee Aaron Stewart? Yes, I could. And I think Democrats can, too. And I think they are scared to death. No matter what Matt Ritter says, no matter what Jason Rojas says, no matter what the governor says, no matter what Bob Duff says, no matter what Mark Looney says as he exits the General Assembly, we talked about that yesterday, and what the state, the Mayor Alvarez and Danbury is the state Democratic Party chair. I don't care what they say. They're worried. And they're worried about the visual in a one-on-one debate between Ned Lamont, who, God bless him, looks good for 73, he's not the most exciting guy. They're worried about that visual, the generational visual of Ned Lamont v. Aaron Stewart, Ned Lamont v. Ryan Fazio. They both would to the Lamont campaign, they would both pose unique challenges. As far as Ryan Fazio goes, he's got an encyclopedic knowledge, from what I understand of the times he's been on this radio station, about state policy. He understands it. You know, power bills, utility bills, that's one of his fortes there. Aaron Stewart is a woman who was a self-professed Republican who won multiple terms of mayor. Six times she got. If she was so horrible, as some Republicans say, how was she elected six times? Once, twice, three times, okay. Rock, paper, scissors here. You get to multiple times like that, there's something going on. Now, you may say, well, yeah, Paul. So why do you think they're so worried about this? I'll tell you why. What happened yesterday, again, Democrats, their old standby now. You know, the when you're in a building and the fire alarm levers or levers, yes, as the Brits would say, the fire alarm levers are behind a small enclosure that says, in case of emergency, break glass and pull down the lever. Well, the in case of emergency, break glass thing for Democrats right now is ICE. Again with ICE. Ice, ice, baby. Oh, my God. Can we stop with ICE? And the more the Democrats go and lean on this, well, we're going to put more restrictions on ICE. Do they understand that that's pretty much a non-issue in this day? Most Republicans and some independents are going to say, no, we like what the Trump White House is doing with ICE. And the vast majority of Democrats and some independents are going to say we don't like it. But do the Dems realize this, that this is just an ongoing hamster wheel that's going nowhere? You notice how ICE kind of hasn't been in the news lately? Now, does ICE make mistakes? Yes. Of course they do. We didn't like what happened here in Minneapolis with the two shootings there. Of course we didn't like that. And the officers that pulled off that shooting, they should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But man, oh man, state Democrats here, instead of doing something constructive about power problems, about utility bills, about taxation, about property taxes, about a long-term energy strategy, about how our power grid's going to go off, we get statements like this yesterday from Governor Ned Lamont. We are all Minneapolis. Governor, I love you. I think you're a smart guy, especially on the budgets. That phrase, we're all Minneapolis. Come on, stop. No, we're not Minneapolis. There are not people getting gunned down. Well, there are people getting gunned down in the streets here. Hartford, Bridgeport, New Haven, Waterbury, the usual spots. But man, oh man, I'm looking at this stuff yesterday. I'm like, they must be terrified inside the Lamont campaign that after the upcoming party conventions and after any primaries that happen, it's going to be one-on-one, baby. And it's likely going to be Ned Lamont v. Ryan Fazio or Ned Lamont v. Aaron Stewart. And they're worried about the visual. And the ICE thing worries them either way, because if Ryan Fazio goes out there and says, listen, we have to, you know, we have to take the chains off of ICE or unhandcuff them, or these dumb laws we pass here hinder ICE, you know, a lot of people in the state, they may not mention it at their cribbage game every Tuesday morning. They're going to agree with that. And even on the flip side, I mean, Aaron Stewart is catching a lot of flack from Republicans because she said, no, she doesn't like some of the things ICE does. Well, that would that would appeal to some Democrats who say, hey, here's a Republican I can get on board with. And I love this, this version from the Connecticut News Junkie by Donald Eng. The bill is rooted in the concept that no one is above the law, said Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz. Here in the Constitution state, the Constitution applies to everyone. Oh, okay, Madam Lieutenant Governor, and I've known Susan Bisewitz for years. Used to have Ron as a regular guest years ago at another station. All right, well, that's interesting. No one is above the law, except the people that are here illegally. I'm telling you, folks, they are worried. Because why would you go back and keep beating the ICE horse? Seriously, with all due respect. How many more times are we going to do stuff that even some legals are saying, yeah, well, you know, states can't really tell the feds what to do. It's mind-boggling. And then you have the lieutenant governor of this great state, God bless, have nothing against her personally, coming out saying, here in the Constitution state, the law applies to everyone. Oh, even the people that didn't follow immigration law, Madam Lieutenant Governor. Is that true? Is that what we're doing here? Enough with the ICE stuff. It's getting ridiculous now. Now, I know what you're going to say. Well, ICE does some stuff that may be illegal. Okay, I'll give you that. But why is ICE even an issue here? It's because over the years, in this state and others, you have a scenario here where, you know, people, whether it's rich Republicans or not so rich Democrats, people kind of turned a blind eye because they could get that cheap labor. We've talked about it. So nobody in a state that the lieutenant governor says no one is above the law, that sort of a state, I guess nobody wants to talk about the 100 or 120 or 130,000 people that don't really have legal status here. And yes, ICE has made mistakes. But what does that tell you heading into an election season where people are ticked off about energy prices, about the public benefits charge, about their property taxes, about homeschooling bills, and we go back to the ICE well again and again and again and again and again. Enough. Enough. If you cared so much about the law and the Constitution state, you wouldn't be genuflecting at this issue every freaking week. Again, remember, this is a state where most of the time they won't even honor an ICE detainer. So wait a minute now, you're doing this, but in a roundabout way, you won't even honor ICE detainers most of the time. Well, it's got to be a special circumstance. Oh, there's lawbreaking, and there's a special circumstance of lawbreaking. My God, we open up today with this question, which is already getting a lot of responses. Do you approve of a new Connecticut law allowing state residents to sue federal immigration agents for civil rights violations? Again, they go back to the ICE well over and over and over. You know why? Because if you don't have any fresh ideas about policy, you just mention ICE. So again, maybe I'm the jerk here.
Yeah, Paul, we know you're the jerk. We listen to you every freaking day, 5 days a week.
No, seriously. Again with another ICE bill in Connecticut. How many? And we have the Trust Act. Is there ever enough here? Can we talk about real issues? Well, they do real issues, Paul. Yeah, you tell me what. Tell me what. Tell me what real forward-thinking issue has been tackled this term by the General Assembly's majority Democrats. Power generation in the state? Electric rates? Property taxes? State taxes? Rooting out corruption? Oh, no, I must have missed all those. When did that happen? A bill limiting the actions of federal immigration officials is now the law of the state after Governor Ned Lamont signed Senate Bill 397 Monday at a ceremony attended by dozens of elected officials and advocates. We, he said, are the sovereign state of Connecticut. Oh, I'm sorry, that's Attorney General William. I definitely want to be governor or senator someday, Tong. That is why we have a Supreme Court. This is why we have state laws. That's why we have a Capitol. Really? The bill is rooted in the concept that no one is above the law, said Lieutenant Governor Susan Bisewitz. Here in the Constitution state, the Constitution applies to everyone. I guess even the illegals. And again, I have nothing against somebody who wants to come here and escape a bad situation and sees America as a beacon of freedom. That's not the issue. You can't pick and choose what laws you defend and what laws you don't. That's what the Democratic majority keeps doing in this state. I'm sorry, the picking and choosing is ridiculous. The bill passed the Senate 24-10 along party lines and the House 91-54. Some Democrats voted against it. I'm trying to find out who said no to this. Maybe you can always tell on the no votes here which state legislators, when they vote against a bill that their entire caucus virtually is for, that can tell you if they're worried about getting reelected. So I'm checking on that as we speak. Democratic leaders in the Senate cited the 250th anniversary of the nation and called the bill another example of Connecticut, quote, firing a shot in the fight for freedom against tyranny. Oh, come on. My God, you look foolish. If you're so concerned about laws, are you not concerned about proper immigration law? Are you concerned that by some estimates, and I'm not saying you have to throw everybody out, but after a while, can you at least acknowledge that the fact that there are estimated to be 120 to 140 or 150,000 folks who, all right, I won't say illegal, they are undocumented in the state. Is that a problem? Does any progressive Democrat ever come out and just say, well, yeah, that, you know, we've got to fix this thing? But no, everything is a battle with Trump because that's all they have. Tell me 203-333-9422, 333-WICC, talk or text. You tell me. What is the forward-thinking momentum that we have any reason to be optimistic on? Tell me, what is it? I don't know. It is mind-numbing that we keep going down this road over and over again with the Trust Act, the 15 different versions we have of the Trust Act that won't even allow an immigration detainer to be honored by anybody who works for the state of Connecticut or as a law enforcement officer. It is mind-boggling, but they do it again and again and again, especially this time around, because they are scared. They know that nothing is really done about taxes, about the public benefits charge, about the cost of doing business in this state. So let's go to the immigrant. And they're the immigrant thing in a blue state. I don't get it. Maybe it's their flailing. I don't know. Before news and traffic and weather together, Ken in Fairfield. Ken, how are you? What's up?
I'm good. I just like to weigh in.
Yeah.
There's something within the Democratic Party that it's like, you know, it's like a guy that roots against his own family, or I've met Jewish people that are against Israel.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand how you could want all these illegal aliens coming here. And there's a million things wrong in Connecticut. Unfunded liabilities is a big one nobody likes to talk about. I'll tell you this, if they come to me for money, if I'm still alive, they could have it, but they have to kill me to get it.
We wouldn't like that to happen. Thank you, Ken. Appreciate it. Yeah, Ken, I'm sorry. I got to go. But no, your point is well taken. There are just some tropes here. I mean, my God, they're going back to the ice bucket. Don't, you know, or the ice trough again. Instead of looking forward, thinking and saying, wow, look at the progress we made on this issue. Ain't we the cats, you know what? All right, a lot of bills still in contention in Hartford, including one that's got the state's Second Amendment community, the folks who are pro-legal gun ownership and pro-legal gun owner and anti-criminal, up in arms. This is that so-called Glock switch bill. It would mandate that certain kinds of firearms, including a Glock handgun, which I understand is very, very, very popular among civilians and law enforcement, could not be sold here, and that would mandate that Glock would have to make modifications to its future guns. Is still up for debate here, or whether it's up and underway, I don't know. And what would that portend for future gun sales here? Is it misguided? We check in right now with a Republican state Senate member, 34th District, representing portions of Northford, Wallingford, North Haven, East Haven, and Durham, State Senator Paul Ciccarella. Hey, Paul, it's Paul. How are you? Long time no talk. How you been?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, Paul.
So give us the update there, Paul. We're getting down to the wire here. Lots of bills, including that Glock switch bill, and you, of course, are the ranking member on the General Law, Public Safety, and Security Committees. You do have a bit of a law enforcement background. So, first of all, for all the gun owners, Paul, that I know listen to this program and might be interested to know what's going on there, what's the status of that bill? Do we know?
Well, we believe it's getting called tonight, later on in the night.
Mm-hmm.
And we are ready to talk about this bill,
yeah,
and fight for common sense solutions. It's just ridiculous. We have gun legislation all the time, and it talks about gun violence, right? And that's fine. Everybody wants to stop gun violence in the streets, but there's two different ways of going about that. And what they're doing here does nothing mm-hmm. to address the problem that we're seeing in our cities. Almost every day you turn on the TV, there's a shooting. Those aren't legal gun owners. Those aren't legal guns. And by doing this, it does nothing to solve a problem, but it just frustrates law-abiding citizens that may like, just like you said, they might like using the gun. They're comfortable using the Glock gun. And it just, it's frustrating when we propose legislation that literally will do nothing to solve the problem. And we're going to fight about that tonight and talk about it, debate it. And I hope that we could get through to them and realize that it's not a good piece of legislation.
Paul, what is your answer then to people who say, listen, Glock, if they wanted to, could very easily make this change. We've pointed this out to them. What level of responsibility, Senator, do you think the gun manufacturer has here? Or is this just a question of pure criminality on your part?
Great question. And Glock is correcting this. Glock's new models will have concern addressed.
Yeah.
If you see that they're manufacturing new style Glocks that are not easily converted. So they are being responsible. But again, you know, if someone gets in a Toyota Corolla and drives through a crowd, do we ban the Toyota Corolla?
Yeah.
No. You know, so I just don't think it makes sense. It's illegal to alter them and use them. It's illegal just to possess a switch.
Mm.
What we need to do is start enforcing the laws that are on the books to deter people from committing these crimes here in Connecticut.
So, Paul, along with that, you say the Glock switch bill that will likely get called tonight. It's coming down to the wire here. What are you hearing? Do you folks in the Republican minority in the Senate, do you have a schedule yet of what will be called along with that? Or are you still finding out kind of on the fly here?
The majority gets to decide what comes out, but we did hear that it will be coming out tonight. And we're going to debate it and try to maybe amend it or try to find a middle ground to really do the people's business, you know, and have some positive outcomes.
All right. Republican State Senate member Paul Ciccarella, Northford, North Haven, East Haven, Wallingford. Paul, thanks. Keep me up to date on this. Appreciate the time, man. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, Paul. There you go. So from one Paul to another. All legal here. The governor and the lieutenant governor and the attorney general don't have to pass any sort of anti-ICE legislation to talk with me. Whatever. What an embarrassment. Oh, my God. When in doubt, and instead of not discussing the power grid, tax preparation, tax policy, ICE, baby. All right. Let's welcome in Megan Portfolio from the Hartford Portfolio Yankee Institute. Maybe she can talk me off the ledge. Ms. Portfolio, good afternoon. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I'm doing well. I got my two screens going. So
yeah.
All is right in the world.
Yeah. So before we ask you about your column here and what you're looking at now and kind of a retrospective to May Day, big day for all the communists on last Friday. I love my communist friends. What might you be eyeballing either in legislation you're reading or the dual screen CTN set up there? Are you all stacked with snacks for the late night? What do we have here?
Oh, I got some Slim Jims. Bourbon.
Yeah, bourbon and Slim Jims. My kind of woman. There you go. Yeah.
I knew you'd like that.
Yeah. So at best, what can you watch from afar here and tell us?
Most of the bad stuff is done. There's some stragglers, some housing bills, that Golden Girls bill. But they're having some issues with it because apparently they call it the Golden Girls bill, but it applies to like 18 and older. And, you know, people in the suburbs are thinking, gee, I don't want a bunch of 18-year-old knuckleheads, you know, up the street, you know, partying all night because I got to get up for the work tomorrow. So Speaker Ritter said they may switch it. There's this solar bill that's still hanging out there past the House. Hasn't been called yet in the Senate. That's more solar subsidies. They want electric payers to, you know, pay for their solar subsidies instead of just having them pay for their own subsidies.
I know. what a novel idea. You want the subsidy, you pay for it. Yeah.
And then there's one the business community is eyeballing. It's on a no-compete clauses. There was a bill out there which was really supposed to target low-wage workers.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been a low-wage worker. I worked at McDonald's for many, many years. And what am I going to sign a non-compete? What am I going to go sell your secret sauce to Burger King? But they, behind the scenes, they changed the bill, and now they want to apply to anyone up to $106,000. So the business community is a little concerned about it.
Yeah.
One of the things in there is if the non-compete clause is over a year, the business essentially has to pay that worker to not work.
So
that's something that they're watching right
make
now.
Make it stop. But I did hear in your days of Mickey D's, you were a demon on the fryolator. That's what I heard.
I was a chef. I was a cook.
Yeah.
And I flipped those burgers, and I did a great job.
Very nice. Hey, before we get to your column, one thing on the Golden Girls bill, you probably saw this during the week. I found it was interesting. Was it? Oh, no, wait. Did you write about this? That I'm sorry. It's all a blur. That part of the holdup there, somebody figured out, was the electric meters that...
Oh, you read my stuff?
Yes, oh, that's so interesting. So if you have a single meter, you've got to figure it in the rent?
Both bills are not terrible, but this is just like our legislature. They just, you know, kind of rush and don't really think about implications. So you've got this Golden Girls bill. Now think about it. I'm renting the Dorothy and Blanche and Rose. And normally we would just split every, you know, split the bills.
Four ways.
Well, this other bill makes it where you can't do that any longer. It has to be built into the rent, which kind of sucks for the renters. I've been a renter before. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to go worst case scenario because, you know, you don't want to lose money. So they're going to go, you know, July, August electric bills and tack that into the rent. So you're basically making it not an incentive to rent out to Blanche, Rose, and Dorothea.
Do you have any open rooms in your house to rent out to crazy high school
There's
and college?
No room at the inn.
All right, your bill regarding your bill, your the stuff you would propose would make sense. Your column regarding workers and May Day. What were your thoughts on that?
All right, so this is actually kind of a big deal, and I really hope our lawmakers are paying attention to this. So we had this May Day rally on May 1st. I don't have a beef with that. That's their First Amendment rights. Yeah. They're allowed to do that.
Yeah.
Here's the problem. Government unions have been promoting it. So this event was supposed to be no work, no school, no shopping.
Of course not.
Our government unions, who, by the way, just got a $2 billion, you know, give me in an election year, had the audacity. Now, this is the union.
Yeah.
Sending out mailers, emails to their members, advertising this. These events took place 10 o'clock at Hartford, 12 o'clock in New Haven, 3 o'clock. So the union is actively telling its state employees, its teachers, its municipal employees to have a work stoppage.
That's great.
If you read the collective bargaining agreements, they're not allowed to do that. There's the reason why we have collective bargaining, which has been a nightmare for the state and one of the reasons why we're in the situation we're in. They have collective bargaining rights. They can bargain for their pay, their pensions, healthcare, work conditions, because they are not supposed to go out on strike. So this is like an agreement we have with these unions. You don't go on strike and you can have these rights. Well, they have broken that commitment and they've broken their contract by actively encouraging their members to not show up for work. They didn't actually say don't show up for work, but when you're sending a flyer out, hey, these are the events, hope to see you there, it kind of implies, hey, ditch work and come to these rallies. Now, I watched a lot of, and they post all, everyone, you know, everyone posts everything on social media. I never even have to leave my house. There's teachers. I know these teachers. I see them all the time. They weren't in the classroom teaching. They were up at Hartford advocating to raise taxes.
Of course.
They were out in New Haven, you know, opposing ICE. They don't want ICE here.
Of course not. No.
And who's teaching the kids?
What? And the fact that they're advocating, what would you say? Don't shop. Don't buy stuff. Hey, I got news for you, Einstein. You're not Einstein. I mean, I'm saying a bit. I love him. You know, the boy. Well, we're not going to. Do you think boycotts and shopping blackouts, you know who that hurts? The little people on the bottom.
It really does.
The ones most likely to lose their jobs because of a lack of cash flow.
Yeah. Exactly. Now, I don't have a problem with the rally. Expect these rallies all through the summer. It's an election year.
Yeah.
The left has found this mechanism of having these rallies and they get all these people to show up.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And that's a beef that you're going to have with your private employer. But in the public sector, the contracts state this. And the contracts also state that the unions, if they know about any kind of work stoppage, are supposed to stop it.
Oh, yeah.
And they not only didn't stop it.
They encourage it.
They encourage that. And I mean, think about it. They got away with it once. They're like children. They got away with it. They're like my dog downstairs who stole my sock.
Okay.
He's hiding in his cage.
All right.
And so they did this once. What's to stop them from doing it again? That there's no implications and no consequences.
It's amazing.
They can do it again.
And they work. And they work.
They don't like their contract.
And they work for us. And they work for
us.
We're the bosses. Mind-boggling.
Yeah.
All right, folks, check it out. Megan Portfolio's latest column on that and the other stuff that she has been watching. She's all set for tonight, late last night, coming up at the General Assembly. The bourbon and the cigars are ready. Megan, thanks. We'll chat down the road. Thanks.
Have a good night. Bye.
All right, there you go. My kind of woman, bourbon and cigars. Yeah, there you go.